welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, "That makes total sense." Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and welcome to a super special episode of That Makes Total Sense. I have a special guest. He's muy importante in my life, and I'm going to let him say hi before I introduce him. So, special guest.
Hey, everybody.
This is my hubby dubs, Seth. So, usually Seth is the producer of the podcast. I say usually, always. He is going to produce this episode right after we get done recording. But today I wanted to have him on because we're just going to talk a little bit about an article that he wrote a couple of years ago for the site, and it gets traffic every single day. It's the only thing on our site that gets traffic every single day. So I want to talk about it for a second. It's actually called something like, I'll link it. It's called How to Tithe. Oh, Five Ways to Tithe When You're Between Churches. So before we were sequestered for COVID-19, I thought this would be a great topic. We'll have Seth on. We'll go back and forth. We'll talk about it. So then the world changed kind of overnight. So normally when we have the podcast, I've recorded these episodes weeks in advance and they just come out on a schedule. But today we're recording for the one that you're going to hear tomorrow, Monday. And I thought, let's still talk about this topic. We'll kind of use this article and the five ways that you could tithe between churches, and we'll talk about how to be generous in a time of crisis, like we are right now with this coronavirus, the sequestering. We all know we're living through it. So how can we still be generous through it? So what do you think, babe?
I think it's a great idea.
I think I was thinking about what to call this, and I thought of all these other titles, and then I was folding laundry, and I thought maybe we should call it Can You Spare a Square?
Seinfeld reference.
Seinfeld reference, Can You Spare a Square?
No, I can't spare a single square.
No, I can't. I can't spare a single square.
Well, the good news is we're okay on toilet paper.
That's
so
right.
That's not our issue right now. We did not hoard hundreds and hundreds of rolls.
Yet.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as we have the opportunity, we'll totally go do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
we'll wrap our entire selves in toilet paper and walk out in public.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Just so it gets wasted. Anyway, I don't think we're going to call it Can You Spare a Square? Then I thought maybe we'll call it Generosity in Crisis. But then I thought that actually sounds like maybe that actual generosity is in crisis. Like maybe people are not being generous, like it's scarce or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. You can title it. Anyway, the Seinfeld reference. I actually thought this was really funny. It made me think. So we moved to Houston like 10 years ago, and we were super desperate for friends, and we ended up, God gave us some really great friends, some that my daughters were like FaceTiming or whatever, video calling with them earlier. And anyway, but we said, maybe when we moved to Houston, we thought we'll know who our really good friends are going to be because we can just make Seinfeld references and they get them and we don't have to explain.
But that's a special kind of friend.
It's a special kind of friend. It didn't really work out.
Yeah, you can quote and someone else can finish the quote.
Yeah. Didn't really work out.
No, we didn't. We didn't find too many people. Well, there's maybe a few, but not.
Maybe a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we won't call it Can You Spare a Square? Anyway, we can spare a square right now. But as Seth pointed out, when we ordered groceries a couple of weeks ago, when that was still a thing, they substituted with single ply. So you'd have to spare two or three squares.
Yeah. That was a big shock, is going to the grocery store and, you know, and the whole aisles have been empty for you know, a couple of weeks now. But the toilet paper stuff, we were able to get the delivery, and
right.
So we usually get our groceries delivered. But so that worked out well that the delivery showed up, but the substitute was single ply.
I thought you were going to go off. I thought you were going to go wild.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's really, I mean, that's single ply is like what you get at the gas station, right? You're on a road trip. There's nothing, right. there's nothing like you're at the Valero and you're telling your kids, make sure you don't actually touch the toilet seat.
Right.
You know, kind of hover.
Right.
And then you get the single ply, and that's the culture of single ply.
Right.
It's road trip.
Right. Don't get the Valero burrito and then go into the bathroom. With the
yeah.
Single ply.
No, no.
Okay. Yeah. We're done. Okay. Sorry. So
giving and being generous anytime when you're between right. churches, when you're between churches is good. In a time of crisis or in a time when your life is disrupted, like right now, that's actually, perfectly relevant for that conversation.
Right. So this can apply obviously right now during coronavirus, but you know, I'm thinking this also applies like this is bringing a lot of Houstonians back to Hurricane Harvey. You know, so if there's a natural disaster, or if there are wildfires, even if it's not in your immediate area, you know, what are some ways that we can be generous? What are some ways we can spare a square when there's a crisis going on? And so, again, we're using this article that I'm going to link, but these are still some good points. So the first one is give to your previous church, or we could say in this case, give to your current church. So what are some ways, like, what would you think, babe, like giving to your current church in a time of crisis, what might that look like kind of from the inside?
Right. So just to kind of set the stage for, you know, you mentioned that this is really the one piece of literature or publication or copy that we've had that consistently has, people keep clicking on it. People are searching
every single day.
They're searching for something, and this article on how to tithe when you're between churches keeps coming up. And it, you know, the context was that you had been meeting with financial coaching clients, and this is something that they had talked about. People, you know, our friends had talked about that they wanted to tithe, or they wanted to start tithing, or they knew that part of their budgeting journey for getting their finances back in shape, a lot of that was going to require them getting back into giving, maybe giving to charities, giving to philanthropy. Definitely people that are churchgoers would want to give to their home congregations or give to missionaries. But we were running into a lot of people that were saying, yeah, but what do I do? Because we moved, we haven't found a new church. We're between jobs, so we changed parts of the city. And now the church that we go to isn't necessarily the one we're going to stay at. A lot of conditions like that where people don't really know. And so maybe they're not tithing at all. Maybe they're not giving at all. And so this article was really intended to give some very practical ideas for how you can participate in giving, specifically giving to church, giving to Christian ministry, even though maybe you don't have a strict membership somewhere and you're not plugged in a very intimate way where you're seeing the fruits of all that giving, but how could you still participate? And so that first one, the idea is that you likely at some point were connected to a body of believers.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So maybe you changed parts of town or maybe you moved states, but you're still connected to that body of believers. And even if you left for different reasons, you may have your parents' home church, or you may have a previous church or a place that you were connected that still is in need of giving. And that's a big part of the tithe, is being able to provide those local bodies with funds. And so I think that's that first point, is you really can. You can, if you change states, you can still give to the place you used to go.
Yeah, for sure. And now we're talking about this, like, if people, maybe that's not their situation where they're between churches right now, they're going to a church on a regular basis, and they see that there's this giant need, right? There's like people right now are losing their jobs, or people are in a situation where they're not getting many hours, or, you know, households are being disrupted all over the country. And so I think, you know, I'm kind of looking at that first point and saying you can give to your previous church, or you can give to, you know, if that's your situation where you're not at a church, but if you're at a church, you can give to your current church. And I think, you know, you can either just give extra, you know, be generous in that way. have a conversation with your pastor. We were watching a church service last week where the pastor very specifically said, we are going to be taking care of the members in our community who are in that situation where they've lost jobs, you know, they don't have money to pay rent. And so please don't forget to be generous during this time. And so I think that that's like, I think that that's something where in a crisis, especially one of this that's like nationwide, you can give to your current church right now, and you're there. And so you can trust them, right, to distribute that money, to use it for their benevolence fund, to do whatever they need to do, because they're going to know of needs that you don't know of. Right.
Right. And there may be, you know, maybe part of the discussion is what you would do on your regular tithe, the thing you do off your paycheck, the percentage wise is still, but there's also, just giving. If you're thinking about, you get a tax, you know, you get your tax refund, or you just want to give $20 somewhere, you can give to your church. And especially if a lot of times there'll be ministries out of your local church that are intended to be benevolence ministries, right? Right. Intended to go towards the elderly or towards widows or mm-hmm. single parents. And if you can find those places, if you can even, you know, you can write it on your check, or you can, mm-hmm. you can, you know, put it on the invoice or whatever, if you do it online, these are ways that you can specifically direct, whether it's a full tithe amount, whether it's a special offering, or whether it's just $20, you'd say, hey, I really want this to go towards this benevolence ministry.
Right. Right. That's good. So next is give to a church that is doing good work. So yep. Again, we can talk about this in the context of if you're between churches, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You can find a church. Maybe it's one that has a televised ministry that you watch, or maybe, you know, it's something like that where you're gaining something from their ministry, or they just have a reputation and you know about them. I specifically want to bring up, we got an email pretty early on in the the sequestering started coming through and things started changing with the coronavirus.
It's called social distancing.
Social distancing, which Seth loves, by the way.
My life is basically the same when I'm at home. It doesn't really look much different.
He's a big fan of the social distance right now.
You mean I don't have to put my clothes on? I just wear my pajamas all day? Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, he's a big fan of the social distancing. But we got an email pretty early on from one of the large churches in town, where we were on the email list because our kids had done like vacation Bible school there or something like that. And they put out pretty early that they were going to be giving, and they had a name for this campaign, you know, regarding helping local people who were going to be financially affected. Like, man, I just feel like so many people are going to be financially devastated right now. You know, it feels that way. But they were on board, on point. I mean, just some of the first ones we saw, and we had, decided already that we were going to give an offering. And when this email came through, I just said, hey, how about we give over here? Like, this is a large church that we recognize, that we trust their ministries. They're doing great work. We don't go there. You know, we've had a connection, I think, like I said, because of VBS or something like that. But we had some money coming through, and we say they already have the resources. Like I said, large church, big administration, they already have the resources where they're doing that. And so maybe your church isn't that way. Maybe you go to kind of a small church, or maybe there's maybe something like that, but you can give these extra resources to a place that already has something going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the context for that with the coronavirus stuff is there are a lot of agencies, there are a lot of groups that are doing really good things. Food banks, the public schools in Houston are providing meals for kids. So there's a lot of good philanthropy and community-oriented giving. But specifically when we, you know, my thought is when we give to a church or a Christian group, it's coming not just with the helping hand, but these are people that are most likely they're also praying over people.
Right.
They are, they're providing some support. It may be, you know, maybe, connecting them with a prayer partner, or it might be someone's community group or their life group. Obviously not right now, but in another time that would be maybe someone who could, bus them to their church, invite them to a, to the women's group or the men's group or something like that. So when we, my view is if we have opportunity to give to a Christian group that is doing this outreach, you're kind of getting maybe more bang for your buck in that you're getting the community-oriented giving, you're getting the humanitarian part, but you're also doing that in the name of Jesus. You're doing that in the name of following up and praying for people.
Right. So if it's like, especially if they're help, so if they're helping their own community members, I think that's amazing. You know, their own membership, but also in something like this where it they're going to use this as an outreach. So you're exactly right. So, you know, someone might, they might provide a meal, they might provide rent relief or something like that. But then you can just be sure that these churches are going to be following up, you know, a couple weeks, a month, 6 months later. You know, not stalking them, but just making sure, you know, offering, is there anything else we can do? Offering community, offering those kind of things that people are going to be turning to God. People are going to be turning to churches. And so I think that that's a really good way.
Yeah. And I guess just to follow up, I'd say, and it's okay if that's not, maybe that's not your home denomination.
Right.
Maybe,
for sure.
you know, maybe you're a Baptist and it's a Methodist church or Pentecostal or something, but still, I think the idea that when we're giving in Jesus' name, we're really saying, especially in times of crisis, that the whole body of believers is united together, and we like to see, at least I like to see that that outreached arm coming from believers as much as from the local community.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a good point. All right, third, this is 3 of 5, giving to missionary organizations. So, first, like you wrote this, what do you mean by a missionary organization?
All right, so missionary organization being either a specific missionary, could be a couple, could be a guy or a gal, or could be a kid who's raising funds to go dig wells in Mexico, or do, you know, go to Haiti, or go somewhere where there's a big need. It could be someone that's working in an inner city ministry, right? At a homeless shelter or doing street church or something like that, but basically a missions oriented group that a lot of times these workers, that their full time job really isn't it's not nearly as stable as yours would be, you and I, if we work in an office or if we work in industry, and even a full time pastoral ministry, which is sustained through church membership a lot of times through that tithing and giving. A missionary organization, they really rely heavily either on monthly donors or one-time givers, and maybe they do fundraising events and things like that. But especially right now, when we have a lot of people on lockdown, we have a lot of people who have lost their jobs. I've already started to hear, you can just look on social media, you look on some of your newsletters that you get from these organizations, that they really do have a legitimate concern that as giving dips, a lot of times that means they have to either have to tap into reserves or they have to cut back on the types of work they're giving. And so for those of us that are in a position where we do want to provide some giving, keeping in mind that missionaries and missionary groups, they are relying through the Lord, but they're relying on people and the goodwill to keep them going, sometimes even on a week-by-week basis.
No, that's completely true. And I'm thinking about right now, you and I, so as a family, we've given to missionary organizations really almost since we got married. I mean, we've started with one missionary organization out of India. This has probably been 15 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, that was early on when we were married.
And then, you know, continued to support through various organizations and that's kind of grown and expanded as God has, you know, blessed us in different ways financially. We've kind of put that into our budget. And I'm thinking a lot of those places that we do have some local, but many of those for us are international ministries that are based in different countries, or maybe they're based here, but a lot of the work they do is in other countries. And I think right now, during this virus, when almost every single country in the world is being affected, every continent is being affected, except Antarctica, you'd say maybe just looking at some of those missionary organizations you're already giving to and looking on their website. Do they have a special need right now? You know, one thing I'm thankful, for example, we recently started giving to Compassion International, and they've been really good to kind of email us updates of the area that our child is in and stuff like this. But, you know, normally they send out emails, or you can get on their website and just see, do they have any needs? And I think that you can kind of up, maybe if you're already giving to a missionary organization, this would probably be a great time to up your giving and see what they have need for in their specific area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So missionary organizations, number three. Number four. Oh, this is a good one. Give to a transitional pastor.
Yeah.
I love that.
We've known a bunch of them.
We have known a bunch of transitional pastors. And this is like one of the most fun ones, I think, because a lot of our, we've known friends, like actually like known these people in real life, not just come to be a guest at our church, although that's super fun too, where either their organization requires them to earn or to fundraise like 100% of their salary, or sometimes they'll do like a matching with their organization. But again, right now, I think this is a great time to reach out, to look and see what are some of those transitional pastors' needs. Because I would say most of them that we've known, their organizations require them to have reserves in a certain amount or a certain amount of emergency funding, you know, a savings to be put away. But I would say we wouldn't want them to necessarily have to dip into this because giving dipped. So this might be a good time to reach out and see if they have specific needs, you know.
And it might even be, you know, we have a friend who's a pastor at a local church, and they're getting ready to transition, move across country into a new role. And it's not a it's not a funded role from the church, so they're going to have to raise their own money to fill this position until it becomes permanent. And you know, we've reached out to them, and there are others we know like that, where you say, hey, what's going to happen? Is this going to delay? Obviously you can't move in some of the home logistics, but are you still getting paid at your home church while you're raising funds to go to this other one? Or does your contract run out right now, and now you're dipping in? Yeah. Maybe you're dipping into some reserves to survive during the social distancing period, which, you know, could be weeks, could be months, could be longer. So reaching out to some of these people, and maybe it's a youth pastor, maybe it's someone working for a paraministry.
Right.
Could be an evangelist or something like that as well. But we've seen a lot of people, and a lot of times these are people with families, and they're not making a ton of money, but they have a heart for ministry, and they're willing to go do the kind of work that wouldn't normally be funded as an associate pastor or a youth minister role.
Right. Yeah. So this is really good. This is a fun one for me, because I think that people who are in this role, oh my goodness, often you just see their passion, you see their excitement for the Lord, and I just love it so much. So I think that's a good one all the time when you're between churches, and especially during a crisis time like this. And last one, number five, give to a local homeless shelter or orphanage or women's shelter. Gee whiz. Right now,
right now, it, so much more stuff is, we are aware of so many different needs. But yeah, you know, even things like homeless shelters or women's ministries that take care of single moms or pregnancy shelters. And these are the things that while we're kind of sitting in our rooms worried about when we're going to run out of one ply, there are women who are still wondering how they're going to get formula for their babies.
Oh my goodness. And one of the gals I know helps with foster care, kind of helps from a private nonprofit getting supplies to foster families. And, you know, I saw a post from her on social media saying that this is not like foster care doesn't stop right now. You know, like children are still coming out of their homes. They're still being placed with foster families, and they still have real needs right now, you know? Right. So that's something I think it's hard, because on the one side, we're seeing that life kind of stops, like it's kind of paused for so many of us. And then I think what we don't see sometimes are some of these other families and or individuals who would be experiencing kind of crisis on top of a crisis
right
now. You know, someone is already homeless, or someone is already, you know, jobless, or someone is already, you know, struggling and dealing with a foster care situation. And then all of a sudden, they have this on top of whatever it is that they were already dealing with.
Right.
And so I think that that's super important, and some way that we can have our eyes open to be generous right now, to say, right now we're all inconvenienced. Right now our lives are all paused for a moment, but there are people who were experiencing a pause for a different reason before the sequestering started.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, we're certainly not saying, and it's not our mentality that you've got to do a little bit of everything.
Oh,
like
for
that's,
sure.
That's
yeah.
not the idea. You know, the idea isn't for
Good
us.
To clarify, babe.
And it's never been for us that there, you know, there's a whole pile of shoulds when it comes to giving mm-hmm. and helping people. And yeah, you should help the nursing home, and you should help the kids raising money for this. And like, there's so much need, and there's so many opportunities. But I think the message is right now, could you find one?
For sure. Yeah.
Right. If you don't have one that you're giving to, could you find one group? Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's the firefighters, maybe it's fire station, maybe it's a retirement home. It's in your neighborhood. Maybe, you know, maybe it's something else, but could you just find one or two things where you could just ask what's the need? Maybe they're just collecting funds, or maybe they're looking for some sort of a, you know, item donations.
Right. And I think too, right now, that's so good. And that's a really good segue to where I kind of wanted to end this, because I think that it's really, I was going to say giving money is easy. And I think what I mean to say is giving money is really convenient, right? Like, most of these organizations that we're talking about are these places where we've mentioned giving money is super convenient. You can do it from home while you're on lockdown, while you're being sequestered. You just, you know, fire up your computer and send it. You can send it from an app from your phone. I mean, gee whiz. So giving money is super convenient, but it's not always easy, and it's not always in the budget, right? It's we're at a time right now where things feel really unstable for a lot of people. And so I think, you know, what can you do if you're in a place where you can't really give extra money right now, or you don't have the extra money to give? I think what you're saying is kind of pick one of these and give something that you can give. You know, I was on a Zoom call the other night with some of my girlfriends, and one of them is in New York State. And she was saying her kids are writing cards and drawing pictures to send to the elderly people who are in these care homes where they can't have visitors and they can't leave. That costs you nothing. You know, that costs me nothing. Actually, I'm putting that on the list for our kids to do tomorrow. So if you're listening, kiddos, that's on the list. You know, but it's like, that's, praise God, the mail is still running right now. These heroes that are out every single day walking around everybody's houses. You know, that's the cost of a stamp and a manila envelope and some paper to really, really cheer up, you know, these people who are in these homes. They can look at these drawings from kids. I mean, who doesn't want that, you know? But same thing, even before, we used to take our firefighters treats. We would make Rice Krispie treats, you know, make them a card and go over. And that may not be something we can do in person right now, but maybe, and they may not want your homemade goodies right now. I don't know. They may not.
Yeah. I mean, now obviously, like, wash your hands before you write the cards, right? And yeah. And maybe cookies is not
right,
the ideal,
know,
right now.
You could pick up an extra box of Little Debbie's and drop it off on the doorstep if you're a firefighter, your first responder. That's another group right now where it's like, anytime a crisis hits, your first responders are on the front lines. I have another good girlfriend who is making masks right now, for the mask shortage for the healthcare providers. Okay. And that's something that's not money, but she has a skill set. She has all the materials at home.
Right.
You know, I chatted with a nurse friend of mine over text this week, and she said it's real. You know, so there's a lot of ways that I think we can be creative and we can be generous. And it's exactly like you said, we're not saying we're not giving to all of these at one time right now in crisis, but it's like, choose one or two. I think it's just a way to open our eyes, especially emotionally when we can't really get out of the house much right now. I think it is a tendency to either turn in and see ourselves. And when I turn out, I'm looking at the news.
Right.
And I think that this is a way where we can turn our eyes out and love people through this generosity, whether it's
right.
drawing a card or a mask or you know, shooting some money on the internet. I think it's a way to get our eyes off of us and onto the people around us who could use help. It's a way to yeah. create community.
Yeah, and that's I think that's really important. I think you don't have to look far right now for bad news. We've been exposed to the craziness and, you know, people doing all kinds of weird and unhealthy things out of fear and panic. And I guess, just consuming that constantly, consuming that and binging on Netflix is a way to get through this period of time, but it probably is going to erode at some mental health and stability and some emotional alertness. But I like that idea of if you can find somebody in your community, just find one or two. Might be the next door neighbor. It might be a guy. You know, we had a guy in our neighborhood who said he lived next door to some retired people, and his job was just to kind of check in on them, see if they needed their light bulbs changed.
Exactly.
Right. And that's a thing you can do if you some of your neighbors might not be able to get to the store, so you could do a store run for them.
Right.
But part of this idea of saying we know that if we're on shut-in or social distancing for more than just a week or two, we're going to have to start focusing on some positive things. And what is a more positive thing to do than to kind of treat people like we would think Jesus would want to be treated and like he would treat them? And that's just give them something they need, pray for them, even just be the kind of people that lift hopes of our neighbors.
Right. For sure. No, for sure. This has been good, babe.
Yeah. Hey, first time for everything.
First time for everything.
All right.
First time for everything. I'm excited about it. So there it is. I'll link the original article if you guys want to go back over those 5 points. Or hey, if you have some ways that you are being generous or you've seen people be generous, reach out. Alexis@thatmakestotalsense.com. And I would love to hear what you guys are doing. You can comment on this post on the podcast. And yeah, share this one with your friends too. And we'll all be a little bit more generous the next time we can see each other in real life. So thank you again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Share the link with your friends. You can visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com. And until next time, this is Alexis Busetti, remembering to do well for ourselves so we can do good for others. Bye.